I don't understand the expression "Orange is the New Black." I guess it's a TV show that I've never seen, but I don't understand that "Orange is the New Black." 50 is the new 40. 40 is the new 50. I really don't understand. Brown is the new green. Did you know that? Gray is the new purple. Polka dot is the new plaid. It's just, I'm very confused.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Yellow is the new orange, black is the new
whatever.
Yellow. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. So good to have you here. Here's what you do. You sit in a chair or something like that, and you relax. What I'm going to do is just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And while I'm doing that, you can exercise or go to the bathroom or have a sandwich or do all of them at the same time. I really don't care. It's not my business. What I do know is that by FCC requirements, which I am not supposed to do, I do have certain regulations that I must follow. Just in case there's an emergency.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home. Some listeners may experience nausea or vomiting while listening to this show. Yes. Please consult with your doctor or psychologist before listening to this program. The Ron Van Dam Show is not intended for listeners who have had a history of high blood pressure or acid reflux. Women who are pregnant should stay at least 20 feet away from the radio speaker and should avoid listening to the show for more than 2 hours at any one time.
Please.
The Ron Van Dam t-shirts should never be worn in conjunction with the Ron Van Dam pants.
Never.
Unless it is after Memorial Day or before Labor Day.
But even then. Yeah.
Please refrain from loud conversation as this may be disruptive to others nearby who are trying to listen to this program. Your enjoyment of the program may vary.
Oh boy.
It may vary greatly.
Really greatly.
Please enjoy the show.
All right. Wish I could. Here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. Yesterday I made an appointment that I dread, an appointment that I do on a biannually basis, once every 17 years. It really causes me great stress. I had to call my dentist. He never answers the phone. Instead, he has one of his people do it. Maybe I should have one of my people call and make the appointment. I don't like going to the dentist. It's a demeaning exercise in futility. Just when I think I have my life in order and I have control of the things I do, I must get on my knees and grovel to the dentist, who demeans me at every turn. Upon seeing me immediately, the dentist always says to me, "Have you been brushing? Have you been flossing? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to question me like that? Have you been going to church? I mean, why? What business of it is your? Have you been drinking enough water? Have you had unsolicited sex?" Well, shut up. I have a male dentist. I don't know if there's female dentists. I've never seen them. I'm sure there are. I've just never run across one. I don't know why not. I'm not being sexist. I just never saw one before. This guy doesn't like me. He doesn't like me. When I sit in his little chair, he takes all these metal objects and starts picking at my teeth. What are you doing? They lure me over. They say, Ron, come on over to the office. We're going to clean your teeth. Well, that sounds pleasant. You can clean them all you want. Then when I get there, they start picking at me. They make me bleed. They take this little ice pick and they jam it between my teeth. They poke it into my gums until they bleed. I will admit anything you want. I will confess. You don't need to torture me like that. I don't like the dentist. I don't like the whole dentist experience. I don't like people going into my mouth. I'm sorry. I don't. Unless it's for sexual purposes. And even then I'm questioning. I don't want people putting stuff in my mouth. And don't drill me. And I'm not talking about physically drilling my teeth. Don't drill me about what I've been doing, what I haven't been doing. It's none of your business. What do we all do before we go to the dentist? Raise your hand if you know the answer to that. Yes, you in the back? That's right. You're absolutely right. Before we go to the dentist, what do? We run home and we brush our teeth. It doesn't make any sense. They are there to clean our teeth and fix them. They should be the dirtiest they can possibly be. Ugh. I mean, you should have a grilled cheese sandwich or corn or something before you go to the dentist, because what the hell? They're going to clean my teeth anyway. But what do? We run home and clean our teeth because we don't want the dentist to think that we don't take care of our teeth. This godlike creature who has the ability to yell at me. Who do you think you are? I don't pay you to chastise me. I pay you to clean my teeth. If they're dirty, let's hop to it, Jeeves. Clean the damn things then. That's what I'm paying you for. I don't like the attitude. I don't like the attitude. For somebody that just goes inside my mouth and does construction work, you're pretty bold. I don't know who you think you are. Sure, you went to dental school. I could go to dental school if I wanted to be a dentist. I didn't want to be, so I didn't go to dental school. You did. Whoopee whoopee. Applause to you. Did you at some point in your life say, what do I want to do when I grow up? I would love to put my hands into people's mouths. That's appealing to me. I want to go right into somebody's mouth and fool around with their teeth and stuff. That's fulfilling. I'm on to you guys. I'm on to you. I know your deal. Why don't you be honest? Why don't you call me up every 6 months at my home and say, Ron? And I say, yes, who's this? Oh, this is the dental office. Uh-huh. And what do you want? We haven't gotten any money from you in 6 months. Look, the office staff has to be paid. We've got a lot of dental equipment here. We've got a ton of medical insurance. And to be honest with you, the dentist, he's got to feed his family, put his kids through college. We haven't received, like, any services, any money from you. How are we supposed to survive? Can we make an appointment so we can come in and look at your teeth and charge you a lot of money every 6 months, like clockwork? Can we do that, Ron? Oh, just don't yell at me anymore. That's what I feel like they're doing, to be honest with you. On the sign outside of the dentist's office, it is in a little building, and there's a sign outside of the building to show people driving by that this is a dentist's office location. There's a giant picture of a tooth. Okay, I get it. I get it. You're a dentist. But somehow a giant tooth on a sign with your name under it freaks me out. I don't like it. It's like driving by a colonoscopy center and on the sign is a giant picture of an ass. That would be humorous. I actually would go there. A giant tooth? I'm not into it, man. I'm not playing your game. So I get a call from this dental office, and this young lady for some reason, and she says, "Ron, it's time for your 6-month dental checkup." To which I respond, "Why don't I just send you the check and not show up, and we'll call it even? I mean, save us all a trip here." So she talks me into making the appointment because she threatens my life. She says, "You know, Ron, if you don't take care of your teeth, they're all going to fall out. Your gums are going to get diseased. It's going to spread to other parts of your body, and you'll die within 16 seconds. It's a little intimidating, so I always make the appointment. Not right away. I always say, I'll have to call you back. I don't know my schedule. I know my schedule. My schedule is I don't want to go to the dentist. That's my schedule. I have a friend named Peter. He may be listening to the show. Hi, Peter, if you are. The reason that I mention your name, Peter, you're the only person on the planet that I've ever met. That's not the end of the sentence, although it should be. You're the only person on the planet that I've ever met who loves going to the dentist. He loves getting his teeth clean. He almost finds it sexually gratifying. I don't know why. He loves to get his teeth cleaned. His pants get large. He's just really loving it. And I said, Peter, why do you love getting your teeth cleaned so much? The poking and the prodding. He says, I just love the feeling of having clean teeth after I leave the dentist. It's exhilarating. Wow, man. Have you ever had sex? I mean, can you compare the two? Do you even know what that feeling is like? Because I think your levels of satisfaction are way off the charts here. Peter's a nice guy. He loves having clean teeth. I'm not going to fault him, whatever. Me? Yeah, my teeth are clean. What do you want from me? What is it? So I make the appointment. The appointment is for next week for me to get my teeth cleaned. And like the American that I am, now I'm consciously for the next week making sure that I brush my teeth at the proper intervals. And I got to floss. I don't enjoy flossing. After all these years of technology, dental technology at that, why am I still taking a piece of string and sawing it back and forth between my teeth? Why am I that archaic that I have to break off a piece of wax string and start playing with the gap between my teeth? Shouldn't there be something automatic that does that? Shouldn't there be an implement that you put in your mouth and you turn it on and it does stuff for you? Why am I playing back and forth with a piece of string in my mouth? It's too archaic for me. It's not right. Maybe I'll invent something like that. Maybe I won't. I probably won't because I don't like to go into people's mouths. That's not my business. That's personal space. You've got private parts. You've got your mouth. I'm staying away from the mouth, let's say. The other thing, I guess I won't. Yeah, I floss. I don't like it. I don't tell people about it. We don't discuss it. I don't call up people and say, "Hey, how you doing? Hey, I flossed today. What do you think?" I don't care. I'm threatened about my gums, you know. The older you get, the more your gums start to deteriorate. Everything on your body deteriorates, including your mouth. I mean, I have a very large lawn. And I have a landscaping crew that comes in and does it because I can't be bothered anymore with that stuff. It's fairly expensive, but it's just, at this point in my life, I'm not going to start manicuring my lawn. I'm not into that, man. So I do pay somebody to do it. Now I'm wondering why I can't pay somebody to come over every day and floss for me. I guess it would be intrusive and I'd have to give him dinner and stuff. And come to think of it, that wouldn't work. So I'm prepping for my visit to the dentist. I'm trying to get my teeth as clean as possible so the dentist won't yell at me. And I can tell he's yelling. He doesn't raise his voice, but he looks at me like there's something wrong with me. Like I'm negligent to my body or something, or that I've somehow created this giant void in society. Ron, everybody's flossing, apparently, except you. You're ruining the whole thing here. If you don't floss, the world doesn't floss. What are you talking about, man? What are you talking about? I only see my dentist for about 3 seconds. That's all. That's all. The rest of the time, it's the oral hygienist, which is usually a woman with bad breath. I don't know why that is, but it is. It just is that way. Again, it's out to torture me time. This woman gets on a stool right next to me as I lie back in a chair. And instead of having her way with me, which she could do, she starts playing around in my mouth. I find that odd. I find that an odd relationship, even professionally. First, she takes x-rays. She comes in with a camera crew. They put little pieces of cardboard in my mouth. They look like slides from a slide projector. She puts them in my mouth, and then she takes this giant machine, and she runs out of the room like, all right, we're going to take a picture of your teeth. I'm packing my bags. I'm going to Cleveland. I don't want to be anywhere near this x-ray machine. She takes pictures of my mouth, and it hurts to bite down on. She says, bite down on the cardboard. And I said, wow, sounds like a bad cook, you know. That's what my mother used to say. My mother couldn't cook. She was a horrible cook. She baked everything in the oven, no matter what it was. She baked it, you know, a hamburger, she baked it, spaghetti, she baked it. She's a horrible cook. And she would constantly say to me, Ron, eat your dinner. And I would say, I don't want to eat this dinner. It tastes like cardboard. And she said, bite down on the cardboard then. So it reminds me of my dentist. So she takes the pictures and then she proceeds to clean my teeth. She scales me. She takes this implement and starts scaling me. She picks away at my teeth. And then she asks me to, which is very uncomfortable, by the way. I don't like to be picked at with a sharp implement. It's just was never in my game plan. And then after she does that for about a minute, she tells me to lean over to the spit bowl, to the tiny little bowl that looks like a miniature toilet. And it's got running water in it, which is soothing in a sense, makes me want to pee in another sense. And she says, spit into the bowl. Okay, wait a minute. Bite down on a cardboard, spit into the bowl. This is some kind of sadomasochist sexual exercise, isn't it? She asked me to spit into the bowl, and lo and behold, every time I'm always shocked that there's a huge amount of blood coming out of my mouth. It's like there's a gunshot wound in there. Every time, I never expect to see the blood. I always figure, okay, you know. But then when I see the blood, it's like, oh my God, what are you doing in there? Shouldn't you be setting up detours and orange cones and things? What, you got an entire construction crew in there rebuilding me? What's going on? Why am I bleeding so much? And I spit into the sink. And every time I do, there's that embarrassing string of spit that comes from the corner of my mouth and stays in the bowl. And that string cannot be broken. That little spit is hanging on for dear life. And here I am with a giant string of spit going from bowl to mouth with a lovely young lady descending upon my mouth. This goes on for a period of time that seems like 5 weeks, but is probably more like 5 minutes. And then she starts picking harder and harder and harder and scaling and scratching and fetching and doing all kinds of things. I can't see what's going on. And then she gets the toothpaste and this little spin brush thing that's connected to the wall and electric, and she starts putting this paste on my mouth. And that's only comforting because all the scaling has stopped. And I do admit, Peter, it is a good feeling. But I think the good feeling is not that my teeth are clean. I think the good feeling is that she stopped doing stuff in my mouth. I think that's the good feeling. And then comes a lecture from her about my gums. And she says that I have the beginnings of a gum disease. I see. And I say to her, because I'm a talk show host, did you know I did that for a living? I say to her, how many people my age have the beginnings of a gum disease? And she very honestly says, all of them. They all do. When you get older, Ron, your gums start receding. It's okay. Why don't you tell me that instead of making me sound like I've got some type of horrible disease? She says, well, if it's not controlled. And then she lists all the horrible things that can happen in my mouth. I didn't know all these horrible things could happen in my mouth. I kind of enjoyed my mouth before I went over to that dental office. I enjoyed eating. I eat in there. That's where I do my eating, inside that mouth. I drink in there too. All kinds of stuff goes on in there. I kiss with the part of my mouth. Sometimes I involve my tongue. It wants to get into the act. I let it. There's a lot of good stuff that's going on in there. And yet the dental office seems to want to get me all upset about it. And then the dentist comes in to a fanfare of trumpets. And the first thing he does is he tells me what the x-rays showed. And they always show that I need to have my fillings replaced. And I say, oh, I see. And why? He says, well, over time, your fillings decay and your teeth can decay without the fillings in them. I say, oh. Huh. I see. And why else are you telling me about the fillings? Because I can make a lot of money this way. Oh, I thank you for your honesty, but no thank you. Then the doctor starts maligning me. He says that I don't floss enough, I don't brush enough, I'm a horrible human being, I am a drag to society, I am worthless, I have no feelings, I am a harsh, cruel person, I am a murderer, I'm irresponsible, I'm a disgusting, disgusting entity. And then he gives me the bill. And I say, thank you, I'll see you again in 5 years. And the dentist says, no. We'll be calling you in 6 months. You can believe that. You can set your watch by that. Then as I'm about to leave, the receptionist stops me bodily. And she says, is there any change to your billing address? I said, yes, there is. I no longer live wherever you think I live. Why don't you make out the bill, leave it on the counter, and I'll come by and get it soon. Well, they never buy that. They insist on making sure they have the proper billing address. And lo and behold, that bill comes in the mail within, I'd say, 10 minutes. I don't know how the post office makes these deliveries so quickly. That bill shows up really fast. I don't think it's even mailed. I think the receptionist just drives around town and puts it in mailboxes. Why waste the time? It's worth it for them. And I open up the envelope and I start cursing with my clean mouth. Why, those bastards. Those bastards, they're raping me. Financially. And then 6 months later, I get the phone call, and that's what happened earlier this week. And now, somehow they always have a slot available for me. Ron, we're going to do some dental work on you, so look at this. We have a magical opening. Can't you be one of those doctors where I have to wait 4 months to get an appointment? No, we've always got time for you and your money, Ron. Now, I know that I'm being kind of negative toward dentists, and if you're a dentist, I really apologize. You're probably the one good dentist, let's say. I guess I'm talking in generalities, and you're not supposed to do that. But I got to tell you something. Get off my back. Get off my back. Get off my back and stay out of my mouth. We'll get along just fine.
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on. Isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
Well, oddly enough, we have a dentist joining us, an expert on gums. This was just one giant lead-in to an interview. Did you enjoy this? It was a big lead-in, wasn't it? We're talking about gums. Here's a good dentist, you bet. Dr. Stephen Daniel. Let's say hello. Can we get him online here? Dr. Stephen Daniel joins us now. He is a renowned dental man. Is that the best phrase I can come up with? You're a dentist.
I'm a dentist and a periodontist.
There you go. Okay. We're talking about something that kind of scares me a little bit, and that is about stress, because I think a lot of us are feeling it, especially these days. And apparently, from what I understand, that can cause some problems in the body.
That's correct, Ron. I tell patients when they come to our office that you can't really be truly healthy without a healthy mouth. And chronic stress seems to be something that's a bit of a roadblock for our patients to both achieve and then maintain good oral health.
Yeah. I mean, the mouth is kind of, it does a lot of stuff. I mean, we touch other people with our mouth. We drink through it. We eat through it. We smoke through it, some of us. There's a lot happening in there.
There it is, Ron. And I trained long enough ago when there wasn't much thought given to the connection between what happens in the oral cavity, the mouth, as opposed to how it happens elsewhere in the body.
Yeah.
But about 20 years ago, we began to realize that what's going on in the mouth can have a profound impact on our overall health, mm-hmm. and that's especially related to untreated periodontal disease and chronic stress being a risk factor for periodontal disease, which, by the way, affects one out of two of us in the United States over the age of 30.
Now, periodontal disease, give me the definition of that. Are those diseases of the mouth?
Periodontitis or periodontal disease is an infection caused by bacteria that causes inflammation of the gums around the teeth that you see.
All right.
When that infection invades underneath and begins to impact the bone of the jaw and the tissues that link the bone to the root of the teeth, that's when people can lose teeth.
Yeah.
That's also when this disease has the possibility of impacting people's overall health by elevating the risk of cardiovascular disease and stroke, having an impact on the management of diabetes, having an impact on women who are pregnant.
Is this disease or these series of diseases, are they age-related? Is there a breakdown over the years?
Actually, if you look at the statistics, Ron, what you'll see is that if you're 62 like I am as opposed to 24 like my son is, mm-hmm. I'll definitely have more damage than my son.
Right.
The difference is because it tends to be somewhat cumulative. However, just because you're 62 doesn't mean you're more prone to the disease than my son Michael is. And so age is not really that big a factor in terms of determining who is and who isn't susceptible to the disease.
Okay. Now, you mentioned pregnant women. Why would that be a factor?
The relationship between untreated periodontal disease and our overall health seems to boil down to inflammation.
Uh-huh.
And the disease is untreated, some of the inflammatory creating chemicals that are produced by the infection circulate through the body.
Oh.
And that's how the
okay.
risk of cardiovascular disease and stroke are raised in terms of premature women who are expecting. The higher levels of inflammation are thought to trigger premature labor, and that can lead to early delivery and low birth weight babies.
Wow. Okay. Well, all right, those are not good things. But how do we circumvent those not good things from happening?
The easiest way is to make sure that, again, given how common this problem is,
yes.
The easiest way is to be examined to make sure that you aren't dealing with this problem. And people like me and my wife, who are periodontists, who are dental specialists that focus, among other things, on the diagnosis and treatment of periodontal disease, can work with your listeners and their dentists, their hygienists, to determine, number one, if there's a problem. If there is, determine the least invasive way to deal with that so that they can go from the problem they have back to oral health. And most important of all, continue to work with that group of people to help the patients, your listeners, maintain good oral health for the rest of their lives.
Are there medications that actually reduce inflammation in the mouth more effectively?
Unfortunately, right now, the answer to that is no. It will be very interesting to see, though, how some of the medications that are being developed for dealing with things like mm-hmm. plaque psoriasis and other things that target mm-hmm. these inflammation-causing chemicals, whether or not some of those may be able to be used as adjuncts to the treatment of periodontal disease. To me, that's one of the most exciting areas of how our treatment of this disease and management of it may evolve over the next 5 to 10 to 15 years. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited for that.
You mentioned that this was very common in various stages, I assume. Not everybody has the disease, but quite a few people, I would assume the majority of the population of this country at least, have what would be considered to be the possibility thereof, the onslaught thereof, if not ever developing it, there is some stage of gum disorder. Am I right in saying that?
Well, Ron, what the Centers for Disease Control, when they began to do a very comprehensive study of the population of the United States, mm-hmm. determined is that 47% of people over the age of 30 in the United States have periodontal disease. In other words, not just gingivitis where the gum is inflamed,
mm-hmm.
but the actual infection where the bone and supporting tissues of the teeth are being destroyed.
Oh.
And that's the point of the disease where it can also have an impact on our overall health.
Wow. That's kind of staggering.
It is.
Can my dentist deal with this? Is this a specialty?
Periodontology is, in fact, a specialty. People who are periodontists are dentists, of course, who spend 3 additional years learning, among other things, the diagnosis and treatment of periodontal disease. And then we typically focus our practices on these things. In other words, we work in conjunction with people like your dentist and his hygienist, because certainly dentists are sometimes able to treat this disease. But often, especially if the disease is more advanced, some of the techniques that we use to not only eliminate the infection, but repair the damage that has occurred, regenerate lost bone and tissues that the disease has destroyed, are things that sometimes our colleagues prefer to work with us, so that as we work as a team, we can bring, well, basically each of our best to the table to take care of those patients.
Doctor, is there nothing that we can take as a preventative, such as, I would assume if we're talking about bones, we're talking about calcium, I don't know what would strengthen the gum or make it more defensive, but is there anything like that that we can do?
Actually, Ron, the thing to do is to focus on good home care.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about it for a moment, if this film of bacteria that accumulates around the teeth and under the gum isn't allowed to sit there long enough to create inflammation and an infection,
right,
nothing happens. Even in a patient who may be more susceptible, mm-hmm, either because of a genetic predisposition to the disease,
uh-huh,
or maybe some acquired risk factors such as diabetes or smoking.
Yes.
And therefore, home care and the ability to clean your teeth well, not just by brushing, but using tools to get between the teeth and under the gum where even careful brushing won't reach, things like dental floss and other things that we refer to as interproximal or between the tooth cleaners. And that's something that your periodontist can help you with to help, again, to work with you and work with your dentist. I tell my patients all the time, no one is born knowing how to clean their teeth, Ron.
Yeah.
It's a skill, and we spend a lot of time coaching our patients, helping them get to be as good at this as they can because they want to stay healthy.
Yeah. I have a friend who's obsessed with clean teeth. He brushes 4 times a day. He goes to the dentist more than he really has to, and when he gets his teeth cleaned, he just feels marvelous. I don't know. I just thought I'd throw that in, but he's very, very, he's got very healthy teeth, but he just loves it. He's into that. Does gargling do anything?
A number of our patients, Ron, use not so much gargling.
Well, mouth rinse, yeah.
Mouth rinses,
yeah.
Exactly. And mouth rinses can be very helpful in controlling certain levels of bacteria in the mouth.
Uh-huh.
I will say that no rinses really get under the gum line,
right,
and that's the area of concern for the periodontist because that's where all the action is when it comes to periodontal disease.
All right. Where can we go for more information about this?
Well, the Academy has a wonderful website, perio.org, and it has two things that your listeners may find particularly useful. One is some information about what periodontal disease is, how it's diagnosed, how it's treated, what some of the links are between that disease and other aspects of our overall health. And also, there's a very easy-to-use tool to find a periodontist in your area who can then work with your listener, work with their dental team, and hopefully get them healthy and keep them healthy.
Great. Dr. Stephen Daniel, thank you so much for your time. This has been very interesting, and we appreciate it.
Ron, it's been my pleasure. You enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, there you have it. A show dedicated to the dentists of America. I take my hat off to you. Actually, it's not my hat that I'm taking off. I'm lying back in the chair for you is what I'm doing. Thank you for your service. Next time I go to the dentist, which is going to be next week, I'm going to go with tape over my mouth. And you can clean my teeth, I suppose, but first you're going to have to get that tape off somehow. And I am not going to be one of those people that run home and clean my teeth first. I refuse. Of course, at the last minute, I'll come up with an excuse why I can't go. And it won't be anything like, oh, my goodness, I'm not feeling well, or have a personal family crisis. It won't be that. It'll be something minor. Like, I'm sorry, I can't visit the dentist today. I'm going to have to make an appointment for a future date. Why, Ron? Is there something wrong? Yes, I got to trim my nails today. They're bothering me, and I can't go a minute longer. So I've got to trim my nails, and that involves my toenails. And that's a big thing for me because I'm 6'3", and my toenails are like the furthest thing away from my head. So I have to look at my toenails to do them, and I refuse to have somebody else clip my toenails because if they make a mistake, then that's going to hurt, and I can't reach down to repair my toes because, again, I'm too far away from them. So you understand the complexity of my problem here. So I'm going to skip my dental appointment today. Well, Ron, when can you come in? What do you have 8 years from now? How about 8 years from now? How about that? Because I'm booked before that. I've got so many things going on. But don't worry about it. In the meantime, I'll be flossing and I'll be brushing and I'll be taking care of my mouth just like you yell at me about. But I can't come in because of this toenail thing. And tell the dentist I love him and that I will miss biting down on the cardboard and having people pick at my teeth and smelling your garlic breath right through that little paper mask that you wear. I'll miss all of that. I will miss your paperwork and your invoices. I will miss that, no doubt. But toenails come first, man. I mean, you understand. You're really into the mouth. I'm really into taking care of my feet. It's a passion. My podiatrist yells at me if I don't take care of my feet, and that is something you don't want to go through. So I'm going to have to reschedule. I'll tell you what, I'll have my people call your people and they can have lunch and they can figure this out. In the meantime, tell the dentist that I love his children, even though I can't support them right now through college. But I wish him the best and I wish you the best too. I hope you have a safe drive home. Don't eat any crazy fried foods. You take care of yourself and I'll see you in 8 years. Bye. I wish you peace. Hey, join me again tomorrow for another show. Until then, bye, go away. And if you're a dentist, this has all just been a comedy bit. I'm only kidding. Everything's fine. Don't get upset with me.